Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Everyone has personal administrative work. Maybe the rich can pawn it off on a personal assistant, but most of us just slog through the daily bureaucracy of life. Law professor Elizabeth Emmon has written about the challenges. Her new book is titled Life Admin: How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. She joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here, Anne. Thank you.
You picked the word or the half word admin. Why?
It just emerged. There was a moment where I was completely overwhelmed in my own life shortly after my second child was born. And I sat down to try to make this stuff of life. All the things on my to-do list that were overwhelming me, I sat down to try to make them visible in my own life by making a long list, and the list went on and on and on and on, and I thought maybe I was just disorganized, not managing to get this stuff done. And then I started to look around and realized that pretty much everyone around me was overwhelmed by this kind of invisible layer of office work that was taking up time, and our minds were covered with it, and it was making it hard to get other things done and to get into the flow with life.
You know, as I was reading the book and, you know, looking at the statistics about people whose relationships are affected by this kind of issue, it made me think about all the times you hear the statistic that people break up over money or this or that, or how many times it's, you know, people who make big moves or when they build a house, how many times that breaks people up. And I wonder if it isn't that murky administration of it all that's killing them.
It's interesting. In the interviews and brainstorming sessions that I held on Life Admin, I found that this stuff, this Life Admin, this office work that people don't see is a big point of tension for a lot of relationships. I did interview a few people who were kind of happy in their admin relationships, and that was really, really interesting to me to see.
Strange.
But that was not the typical thing that I saw. So I studied those people pretty closely.
I've always called it, well, I think the word admin, I get the appropriateness of that and why you've chosen that. But as far as my relationship to it, I've always called it bureauphobia, phobia of bureaucracy. And I've been saying that for a long time about myself, but you're saying it's more common than not.
It's interesting. I'm writing that down because I'm collecting terms people use.
Bureauphobia is mine. I've been using it for at least 30 years.
I love that. I love that. Well, and it really captures the feeling that so many people have about this, of fear. Big words I heard in my interviews. Fear, but also shame. I even heard people, that word come up more than once. And it was one of the really gratifying things about doing these interviews was helping people see that they aren't alone, because people suffer privately with this a lot. And this is actually how this project that I thought was going to be a little project, and I wrote it as an academic paper, and I started presenting it the way I do. You know, as a law professor, I have a lot of ideas about how we can change society, things that should happen to make this better for everyone. So I was giving papers, a paper about that, but, you know, talking about this life admin thing, and people were coming up to me and saying, oh my gosh, no one's ever, law professors, you know, no one's ever described my life so perfectly in an academic paper, you know, and you seem like you've seen into my marriage and my life. How did you do that? And I realized this was having a, you know, a kind of impact on people just to name it, just to call it something and to recognize that we're not alone in it.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about that stuff you have to do in life. You have to collect receipts for your tax returns. You have to make play dates for your kids. You have to make sure they get their hockey equipment. You have to pay bills, call the hairdresser, blah, 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 blah. My guest is Elizabeth Emmons. She's a Columbia University law professor and author of the book Life Admin: How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. If you have an example of life admin that's killing you, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And by the way, if you have a story about how you tackled some life admin, share that story as well. Elizabeth Emmons, you had to not only write about the problem, but you had to come up with solutions too.
Absolutely. And I tried a lot to find ways to write this book for busy people. You know, it plagued me while writing this. How do you write a book for people who have no time about having no time, and how to make it better? So I have strategies throughout the book, and then I also collected them at the end as my favorite kind of ideas to try, so that even if you make it through the whole book and find time for that, you don't have to do the admin of collecting the ideas at the end. It's one of the hard things about books that are aimed to help us live better, is they can leave you at the end feeling like, oh my gosh, now I have a whole other list of things I have to do to make my life better. So I've been collecting those strategies, and I try to make it easier on the reader in that way. But, you know, and what you were just saying about all this stuff of life made me think about the way that this stuff really seems trivial. It can seem so small, and yet it really adds up. So, you know, there are big time and money elements attached to this. So the free application for federal student aid, the FAFSA form, you know, that college students or often their parents have to fill out. The FAFSA cost U.S. families 30 million hours last year.
Wow.
And in mortgage refinancing, you know, 20% of U.S. households that could benefit from home mortgage refinancing don't do it. And there's a foregone savings there by one study of $5.4 billion.
And you made the point that they don't even open up the mail. I'll tell you, one of the best things about the Great Recession was I quit getting mail from banks and stuff. I didn't even have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, well, one study found that it was, as you say, just because somebody doesn't open the mail or doesn't make that first phone call. And as somebody who has a big pile of mail in my hallway, you know, I'm an admin avoider when it comes to my snail mail. I can really see how that would happen, right? And it's pretty common that people avoid things like snail mail, and the consequences can be significant.
To give people an idea of how this changed you, I mean, I guess it's easy to think of you as someone who's been completely, you know, changed by this experience. But what? Give me one example of how you do your life differently.
Sure. So now that I can see Life Admin before it lands on me, I can make choices. So sometimes I choose not to do it or to do it more efficiently. And then when I have to do it, I have ways to take the sting out. So one example is that I dedicate time to it. So I will set aside time either sometimes with someone else. I found with some of my brainstorming sessions doing an admin study hall, people found really appealing to actually Zoom, you know, be on a video conference or a phone call with a friend who's far away for an hour, and you say hello, you get to catch up for a moment, and then you say what you're going to do, and then you do it, and then you congratulate each other or commiserate at the end. And that company in something that has seemed so isolating for people was revolutionary to some people. Now, other people don't ever want to deal with somebody else or do the admin of having to coordinate with someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. There's a kind of way you can do that solo. You know, you can set it up. But when I put time aside for it, then it's a very different experience. One of my proudest admin avoiders, I have these four admin personalities. Mm-hmm. One of my admin avoiders said on an overseas flight, he had to do his taxes. And he found that when he was just there doing them with nothing else he could be doing instead, it wasn't unpleasant. It actually was kind of fun. Could be like doing a crossword puzzle. And so that making time for it, for me, really makes a difference when I can do that. But that's just one of the strategies.
Yeah, you said you outlined four types of people who deal with admin: super doer, reluctant doer, admin denier, and admin avoider. Let's start with the admin avoider. What's their life like?
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting. They sound like a hierarchy, you know, these personalities. Yeah. Like the best thing, who doesn't want to be a super doer, right?
Yeah.
But actually, I learned that there are strategies we can derive from each of them. But the differences in them are interesting. I mean, the super doer and the reluctant doer, as they sound, are basically doing it or getting it done. And the avoider and the denier are not. The differences in how they feel about it. So you asked about the avoider. Well, the avoider isn't doing it or getting it done, but is feeling really bad about that. You know, either guilty towards whoever is doing it for them or embarrassed about the not having gotten it done and therefore late fees or, you know, consequences that catch up with you. Whereas the denier is not doing it, but is actually feeling pretty okay because the denier doesn't think admin is a thing at all. So the denier is tended to be someone who's privileged enough to have somebody else who's been taking care of it for them. And then the super doer and the reluctant doer, the super doer is doing it and feeling pretty good about it, and the reluctant doer is doing it but really wishes they didn't have to, which is usually my center of gravity in admin doing. But there's a quiz at the back that you can use, you know, to find what your personality is and understand the sort of most of us are mixed. So I'm different in different areas.
It depends on what the chore is.
that what the particular kind of admin is and sometimes what relationship we're in. And some of us are different at work and at home. Some of us have the same admin personality in both places. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I talk to, and sometimes their partners, had different personalities at work and at home. I talked to one woman who said that, you know, her husband manages a very large staff at work, but arranging a simple play date, he actually will, you know, make three mistakes and drop the ball. And so, you know, sometimes we have different personalities at home and at work around admin.
And as far as that personality goes, how did you determine those four types?
So I did interviews and brainstorming sessions with over 100 people, and it was qualitative work. So I derived from that. You know, I listened, I recorded, I replayed, I traced themes. And then this is what emerged was that the sense that people had a kind of center of gravity in one of these areas. And it was possible to parse that through conversation. And it was interesting to see how people paired up in relation to these personalities, too.
Yeah, right. I wanted to ask you about that, if you found a trend line along that in that way.
Well, so I did I developed the quiz and the personalities from the research itself. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a numerical, you know, grouping of how many were each type.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you that my impression is that a reluctant doer-avoider seems to be a pretty common pairing, you know,
oh, okay.
Where one person is doing it but really wishes they didn't have to be doing it, and the other person is not doing it, is feeling guilty and bad that they're not doing it.
Uh-huh.
I think, though, the difference between an avoider and a denier is that the avoider says thank you to whoever is doing it, and that generally is an improvement for a uh-huh. lot of people in a relationship compared to someone who just kind of pretends it doesn't happen. Because a lot of this work, because it's invisible, we often don't hear thank you for it. So, you know, mm-hmm. if you cook a meal, if you do a physical chore like cooking a meal all day, big, beautiful meal, there's a decent chance someone will say thank you. But if you spend the day at the DMV, it's a lot less likely you're going to get flowers as a gift for that.
And there are a lot of people now particularly in the baby boomer generation, who may still have children, you know, younger children, not adult yet, and are getting them through college, and parents, older parents, that they're taking care of and doing the admin for.
Absolutely. So that sometimes gets described as the sandwich
yeah.
generation, right? And there's even a club sandwich, you know, where you might have aging parents, and you might have children and grandchildren, all of which you're in some way involved in helping with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the sandwichers are in a particular admin bind, because often too the people that they're caring for may be in different geographical locations. And so then, you know, it's less the direct labor on behalf of someone, and it's more the, you know, figuring out the retirement home, you know, and figuring out the schools and the bill pay. And the millennial generation, you know, keeps part of the extension of childhood is that often their parents are still doing their taxes, or, you know, they still have them on their cell phone plan or their mm-hmm. health insurance for years and years past the time that we think of as adulthood. So people can have this carrying on for a very long time.
When I was taking care of my mom's business, I had a friend who often said, you know, if you need any help with that, and I'm like, are you insane? I would never... I'm reluctant, but I would never pawn it off on a friend. But she sounded like she would enjoy doing it.
I wonder if she was somebody who had been through, who'd done work in that particular area. I mean, one of the bright spots I found was that for particularly painful kinds of admin, especially like the admin of an illness, you know, whether yeah. it's your illness or a family member's or a child's illness or a divorce or something that's really a painful onslaught, you know, one of the hard parts is that people on the outside see that you're in an emotionally difficult place, but they often don't see this invisible work that may just be tackling you when you're down. But people who've been through it sometimes do see it, and they know. And they can be a kind of node, you know, or a lifeline who can answer your questions. If you can go to them and say, can you tell me what exactly should I do? What are the steps I should take? What was the first thing? What do you wish you'd known when you were at this moment? People are often really glad to unload that information that they didn't want filling their heads in the first place, and they had to become an expert, you know, in retirement home admin, but only for one instance. And then that information just went to waste. And so people are often really happy to get to share that kind of knowledge and help somebody else out with it.
We are talking about the everyday administration of the everyday life. My guest is Elizabeth Emmons. She is a Columbia University law professor and author of a new book. It's titled Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. Love to hear from our listeners if you've got some administration issues in your life that you want to share with us and maybe get some ideas from Elizabeth, because her book's not only about what the problem is, but she has a lot of solutions as well. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about how to get a handle on the everyday bureaucracy of life, from checking your rates with the insurance company to organizing a pet sitter. Law professor Elizabeth Emmons worked on her own struggles with what she calls admin and then wrote a book about what she learned for the rest of us. The book is titled Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. Elizabeth Emmons is still with us by phone. You correlate admin and poverty, and I wanted you to talk about the connection between that and what all of this has to do with poverty. I mean, a lot of people who have lots of struggles can't afford to buy your book.
Yeah, the admin of poverty is challenging in a number of ways that are particular, starting with the fact that the stakes of poverty admin are higher. You know, as I said earlier, I can ignore my snail mail for a little while, but if you're depending on public benefits, you know, not opening your mail can lead to losing your home or ending up in a series of bureaucratic interactions and then eventually still losing your home. I did a focus group with a legal clinic and one that does, and another organization that does admin services, basically helps people fill out their benefits forms and so on for people in poverty. And could really see another difference is the tone of the interactions is often different. So people of means often do admin with private entities that want their business. People in poverty are often dealing with public entities staffed by, you know, overworked frontline workers who may even be encouraged to do what's called rationing by hassle, the term we get from the insurance industry, where there's, I think, a lot of rationing by hassle. You know, if they can make your life hard enough that you don't actually keep coming back, then they don't have to eventually pay out. But also, it's a lot harder to do the office work of life without an actual office and office equipment. And so one of my aims in the book is to help us all see each other better. So even if someone's admin is worse than yours, it doesn't mean you're not suffering. And so I'm hoping we can all develop some more admin compassion for each other through this.
Historically, it wasn't always like this, right?
Well, there has always been admin in the sense that there has always been planning, you know, so thinking about how am I going to make the transportation to get myself to the market to do the things that I need to do. Mm-hmm. But everything is ramped up for a number of reasons now. One is, the rise of the administrative state means the paperwork that goes along with that. Now, there are some things that we could do about that as a country, starting with the fact that we could have pre-filled tax returns the way they have in many countries. So if you live in the UK or in Chile, for instance, you have a simple tax return, the government uses the information it already has, which is what it uses to check our tax returns once we submit them, and it gives you a pre-filled return that you just review and sign off on. And that was tried as Ready Return in California, and lobbying interests defeated it. But if we could all see this labor for what it is, if it became visible, I think maybe we could overcome that. But so there are some things that we could do about on that side. But also, technology has changed things so that while technology can help us in various ways, it also means we carry around these little admin machines, most of us, in our pockets all the time. And so the frequency with which we are given these demands of admin and we're expected to respond to them just escalates and escalates. So now everybody knows our inboxes for email are full and too slow, so they text us the requests, right? And so it just is, we're supposed to respond more quickly, and so the chance of getting into flow or ease with what we're doing or our relationships is harder.
The toughest part about getting my haircut is at the end, after I've paid, they say, would you like to schedule your next appointment? And I'm like, it's like deer in the headlights. It's just, you know, it's like I've got my phone right there, but sometimes I'll even say, I don't have my phone.
Just so you don't have to do it.
Right.
Well, and it's nice, you know, if you know when you want to do it, right, then you've saved yourself a step. Because so one of the strategies I learned from superdoers is bypassing the to-do list altogether, right? So that if somebody says to you, you know, who's your eye doctor? Oh, I need an eye doctor. Do you have a good eye doctor? And you say, oh, sure, I'll send that to you later. Now you have it on your to-do list, right? Mm-hmm. You have to remember it. If you just say, sure, I'll text it to you right now, mm-hmm. you know, what's your phone number? And then it's done. So sometimes when they said you want to make that appointment later, it's great. But if you don't know what your schedule's like in 6 months, and all you've done is created something on your calendar, you're going to have to cancel when it turns out that your life isn't organized in a way that makes that possible.
Yeah, exactly. We have an email from Sarah. And by the way, listeners, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And we're talking about taking care of those details of life. Elizabeth Emmons, Columbia University Law School professor and author of the book Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More is on the line. So if you have a question or comment for her, 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I have an email from Sarah. She writes, as gender role expectations have changed in relationships over the years, how do you see the balance of life admin responsibilities between spouses shaking out? Loaded question. I see a lot of relationships where the woman ends up taking on the traditional female life admin responsibilities as well as others, but not vice versa. This adds to the mental load women end up carrying, keeping track of more life admin activities in addition to all the other responsibilities of life.
So household management, which is one part of life admin, has been described as the last barrier to gender egalitarian marriages. Part of what prompted this study for me was looking around and noticing that even in couples that were trying to split up the work, to share the work, that there was often one partner who was doing this invisible layer of managing everything. And part of what interested me was not just managing everything, but often doing the paperwork too. So life admin is the kind of work that both managers and secretaries, also known as admins, do in the office. And you'll hear people say, oh, the woman is the CEO of the household. But if she's the CEO of the household, then how come she's also filling out the forms and, you know, making the calls and scanning the documents, right? She's not. You know, there are a lot of different roles in a house, in an office, often occupied by different people, right? But in a household, they may all be occupied by one partner. And on average, it looks like from, you know, what we know anecdotally and from the data that we have, that that person is more often a woman in a male-female relationship.
And as far as, does it reinforce gender disparities then in the household?
Well, if one person is the go-to person for everything, then it is self-reinforcing and it's sticky. So one of the things I found really interesting in my research was noticing how admin is stickier than other kinds of physical chores like cooking and cleaning. And what I mean is it tends to stay where it lands. And a big part of that is that it's often information dependent. So that's why it's easier to do the dishes in somebody else's house than to make their grocery list.
Okay.
So doing the dishes, right, is a physical chore. Making the grocery list is the admin part of going grocery shopping. I had one person I interviewed, her husband, when he, you know, they talked about what were they going to do, how are they going to divide this up, she was really overwhelmed. And so he was going to do the grocery shopping, and he lost the grocery list 3 times. They called it the disappearing grocery list problem. And he would lose the grocery list, and then he would call her at work in her meeting or whatever she was doing in order to try to get a reconstructed version of the grocery list. And to her, this was you know, what we might call strategic ball dropping. That's how she saw it. And she was a reluctant doer, and he was an avoider. And you know, this was a real challenge for them. But stickiness, a bright spot is once you see stickiness, then there are things you can do to to try to unstick things. I just wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal about this, about stickiness. And, you know, if you can try to make set up systems for seamless transfer of information, you know, if you put the list on the fridge or whatever the mechanism your family is going to use, you know, you can get apps that have everybody on them. A lot of us, those apps are too complicated for at least somebody in the family, and that's not going to help. But if you can make it visible and you can make a seamless transfer of information, that can help. Also with skills, you know, often one person, whoever first learns how to use the scanner is the one who keeps doing the scanner, the scanning forevermore. Well, the next time somebody asks you, oh, where is that document? Where's our car registration? You can say, okay, this time I'll show you where we keep those things. And then next time you can do it yourself. This time I'll help you. But on the condition, and the 8-year-old who says, where's my hairbrush? Mm-hmm. Well, okay, this time I'll help you find your hairbrush. But on the condition that we're going to figure out a place where you're going to keep your hairbrush so you can find it yourself next time. So you can unstick yourself once you see this work. At least there's a chance.
Are these patterns, when it comes to relationships, do they play out in same-sex relationships and same-sex marriages as well?
They do. That was also an interesting thing that I found is that, so there's less research. There's not as much research on admin as there is on other kinds of household labor, and then there's even less research on same-sex couples. But what research there is suggests that in a couple between women where one woman carries the child, if they have children, the woman who carries the child is more likely to do the kid admin, kidmin, as I call it. Mm-hmm. If one partner makes more money, in a same-sex couple, the one who makes more money is more likely to do the financial admin. That's part of what I find interesting is that these patterns can grow up in lots of different ways. So they do, on average, follow certain expectations we have or stereotypes, but they also can go different ways. I've certainly met couples, too, where the man was the main admin doer and his wife was an avoider with regard to this work.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment about that personal administration pieces of your life, I call it the bureaucracy of your life. My guest, Elizabeth Emmons, has written a book about it. It's titled Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Leslie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Ann and Elizabeth. I was historically... I recall a time where I was a little procrastinator.
Uh-huh.
Always been a planner by nature. I've always loved setting goals, but it was those like job-related tasks that when I was working in the corporate world for about 17 years and 9 months, there was a time where I was actually reprimanded because I missed some job-related goals. And I was sitting in my manager's office one day, and he just, during one of our one-on-one meetings, and he actually suggested that I take a Franklin Covey course. And this was so long ago. I can't tell you how long, if it was a one-day course. I can't even remember, but I remember doing it.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the best gifts that my job gave me. And I still, you don't hear anyone talking about Franklin Covey using that tool anymore, but actually that's something that has stuck with me even to this day. And when I get married, my husband picked up that habit. But I tend to be the more admin expert in the marriage relationship just because it comes naturally to me.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Emmons, what about like Franklin Covey? There used to actually be a store in our local mall that had Franklin Covey products. You don't see it anymore, though.
Well, I still think he's useful. Leslie, I agree with you. In fact, I talk about his urgent and important chart. So the particular category of what is not urgent but important is something that is often really hard to get to. Admin is often what's getting in the way of our important but not urgent things like exercise, self-care, long-term goals. All those things are things we often need to make time for around admin. But, you know, Leslie, your story really resonates with people that I interviewed, that a bright spot here is that you can change around admin. You can actually make a change. I interviewed a woman whose husband died, and had died before I interviewed her. And when he died, she realized that he was doing a lot of this work and she hadn't realized it. And she was not a super doer, and not even a reluctant doer about a lot of this work. She had been avoiding or even denying this work. And she got on top of it and made systems for herself. And I talk about the systems that she used, that she uses, but it was possible for her to change. And in fact, she had had a daughter who almost got kicked out of school in high school, junior high, because she was so disorganized, and they were able to get her help, someone who was able to really focus with her on organization. And she went on to have, her daughter went on to have a very successful life and career. She absorbed those skills and really applied them throughout her life. So what you're describing, Leslie, really resonates for me.
Leslie, thanks for that call. I want to turn to Cynthia now because I think she might be speaking to something you just mentioned. Cynthia in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello, Anne and Professor Emmons. Yeah, I was wondering about the situation. I was widowed a few years ago. Fortunately, I was the person who took care of most of that stuff, but I run into a lot of women and who, you know, they're widowed, and he took care of that. He knew how to do that. He did all that. He knew how to fix this, and he and I was wondering if that was something that you wanted to comment on.
Elizabeth Emmons.
Absolutely, and this is why, too, the widow that I interviewed talked about how she had gotten the advice years earlier to learn something about the finances in their house, and she had asked her husband, and they'd sat down once to talk about it, and she just thought, you know, it's just too much. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to learn about it. And she really wished, looking back, that she had. You know, they had come up with some ways that they talked about it, even once a year. You know, it's important to go through and talk about where do we keep the important documents. You know, where are they? To have some of those conversations and keep track of some of those things so people are communicating about them, having ways to communicate them really makes a difference in those difficult moments. But I imagine that the moment where someone passes in your life, that moment in itself can just be a completely overwhelming moment with all that has to happen in relation to the passing and the funeral. And all of that. A woman I interviewed who'd been to a funeral that week, she and I got in a big conversation about what the helpers could do to help a widow or a widower through that moment. Helpers often come and make meals. But somebody who is willing to say, you know, can I come and help you just sort through that mail pile or try to figure out the insurance aspects of all this? You know, that kind of helper can really be a lifesaver for people.
Cynthia, thanks for that call. We welcome calls. We'd like to hear about your experiences managing the everyday bureaucracy of life. My guest is Elizabeth Emmons. She is a Columbia Law School professor and author of the book Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. The number to call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. We're talking about how to get a handle on the everyday bureaucracy of life, from making your next hair appointment to organizing the class party for your third grader. Law professor Elizabeth Emmons worked on her own struggles with what she calls admin, and then wrote a book about what she learned for the rest of us. The book is titled Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. She will be doing a reading of her book coming up next month at Gramercy Books. So check Gramercy Books calendar or the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides for more information about Elizabeth Emmons' visit to Columbus. If you have a question or comment for her now, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@WOSU.org. Elizabeth, you talk about invisible admin. You've made that reference. Is it, you know, what are you talking about there? And what can people do to make others notice the work more?
So admin's invisible, both in the sense that it is often literally harder to see, because a lot of it happens in our minds as we think and plan and decide. And also because a lot of it happens in our phones or our devices. If you're, you know, on your phone, no one knows if you're playing, you know, Sudoku or you're texting the babysitter. So it's literally harder to see a lot of this work. And also it's invisible in the sense that it's not generally seen as labor, not understood as work. And so those two things really add up to this being a possible site of misunderstanding and resentment. One person I spoke with pointed out that in a lot of couples, it may also be that both people are doing this work and not seeing each other for doing it, that they may not even appreciate, so that there could be resentments on both sides with this kind of work. And it often doesn't, you don't see it in the sense that it doesn't pile up. So if, you know, someone leaves town who's in charge of doing the dishes pile up in the sink, you know, unless someone does them, someone else does them. But the person who's doing this kind of work, as one woman said to me, her husband said before her work trip to Paris, you can keep doing all this stuff in your phone, right? So that can happen too. So the ways we can make it visible, and one of the big ways is to talk about it, to communicate about it. You can ask someone, you can ask your partner, you know, what's on your list right now? I have an admin listening game you can play where you ask each other for a few minutes and just reflect back. It can be actually a surprisingly fun thing to do, I found, in brainstorming sessions. And you can do it at the beginning of dinner. What's on your list, or what did you accomplish today? Let me give you a little sunshine. Tell me the things that you got done today. And just hearing someone reflecting it back and then saying, wow, that was a lot, can really make people. We know from research, too, that gratitude is good for the person hearing thank you, but also for the person who's experiencing real gratitude. So it's good for us all.
Vicki in Columbus, you're on the air with Elizabeth Emmons. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. When my husband and I were in our early 30s, we both were working full-time, making about the same salary. I delivered premature twins and decided to stay home. So that put us down to one income, him being the sole earner. So I felt, in order to justify me being home and him taking on this extra financial burden, I should take on more. So I took over completely the finances, and it's never been switched back, even though our kids are, you know, grown up now. So 2 years ago, we applied for a line of credit. His credit rating, remember, I paid all the bills. His credit rating came back as 850, mine came back as 835. And I was like, excuse me, what? So anyway, we're retired now, and I still take care of the finances completely, which I think is not a good idea, because if I drop dead, he's going to be like so many widows, except he'll be a widower. But he has taken over so much of the house, the laundry and things like that, that I don't feel as overwhelmed as I did. But I put myself in a very overwhelming situation when I felt that I had to justify being home with my children.
That's interesting. Did you find that much of that, Elizabeth Emmons?
I found that people find their balance within their relationship, and certainly admin can be part of that mix. What I found often, though, was that the person who was doing the admin was, it sounds like you even consciously took this on because you wanted to, you know, carry more weight at home. But I think often it's just unconscious. Nobody thinks about it, and one person just ends up doing it, and then they're kind of stuck with it. And I think that there's research that suggests that people are happier in their marriages if they talk, if they talked about things they wanted to talk about at the point where they were dividing up labor at the beginning. If they had those conversations, they're happier. But most people don't have those conversations. They just get into patterns, and they keep doing it. Now, when you start talking about admin, it's possible to start seeing it as part of, you know, the trades and the kind of economies in the household. Then you can say, you know, I've been working so hard doing all these school applications, helping the kids with their college applications and their financial aid forms. You know, maybe you can do the meals this week. You know, maybe that's a good trade. You can start to make some of those trades for people who are open to that once you're talking about it, once you see it.
Vicki, thanks for that call. Aaron in Marysville, you're on the air. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Elizabeth. My question, it's just ironic that I'm listening to you right now. My husband and I, we constantly argue about finances, and I have horrible anxiety when talking about it and even having to discuss it, you know, or just sit down and look at it myself. And I feel like there is a slight bit of resentment as he is the spender and I kind of want to be the saver. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if, Elizabeth, if you had any research upon that or maybe advice at all.
Mm-hmm. Would people have different approaches to finances? You're right. I mean, it just creates real tension. Something that people find at least to get on the same page can be to set up planning meetings, a time that they are going to sit down and talk about it, and even trying to make it an appealing thing, taking turns, say, with who's going to, you know, find the music, find flowers, do something to make it pleasant, and then to really have it in the calendar on repeat if you make the default plans, rather than having to plan it each time when you're going to have the conversation. And then to realize, too, with any given job that you're trying to do, any given admin job, there are different components. There's the planning, research, the decision-making, and the execution. And you can take turns doing part of that, or each of you can take on part of it. I interviewed a woman who she and her husband split up their college, their kids' summer camp project, which is a huge project, while he gets all the catalogs and compiles them, and then they decide together, and then she does all the implementation, that you can divide up those pieces. But if you're anxious, if part of it is the anxiety about the finances, then finding time you're going to talk to each other, or trying to schedule a time where you and a friend sit and talk about how you're managing this stuff, maybe another way to be seen in it if you're having a struggle in, you know, talking about it in the relationship.
Aaron, hope that helps. Thanks for that call. And Elizabeth in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. So I had a question about just being like a college-age student. I'm 21, I'm a junior in college, and I was just wondering if there's any advice for me trying to take over a lot of work from my parents for my own life and struggling to kind of live the split life. I have a new address like every 6 months since I'm moving each year. I spend the holidays with my family. Then I'm somewhere else in the summer. So I just kind of want advice on like how to get my life organized and maybe figure out things that I didn't know I needed to be doing and get started so that I don't like get 10 years into my life and then suddenly there's a lot of stress on me for this admin kind of stuff.
Elizabeth, that is such an awesome question. It's really remarkable that you're thinking about that, and I think really unusual. And I think if you sit down with your parents and ask them what are the things that you need to do when you make this transition, you know, I bet they can go through and walk you through it, and they'd be really grateful that you're trying to think about how to set up your life. In terms of any of our lives, one of the things I've learned is that keeping a simple to-do list is often really helpful, that the people, the super doers I interviewed, a lot of them had gone back to paper, actually, which was surprising given that we have all this great technology. And I like to use a paper to-do list when I'm really overwhelmed, and then keep in my phone a running to-do list, but just in that simple notes app where it's the most like paper. I think that's really helpful, just to keep track of everything in a simple way.
Why do you think, or what do we know about why paper might help?
It seems as though putting things on a piece of paper, writing them in a list, closes the loop in our heads for many of us. Now, some people really do like technology for this, and I interviewed some people. I talk about some of the apps that some people have found useful. But for many of us, writing it down on paper seems to get it out of our heads more fully, seems to kind of close that loop. And also the crossing off can have real satisfaction if you've ever written things on a list that you've already done just in order to be able to cross them off, then you know what that kind of pleasure can be like. So I think that's part of the paper, the appeal to paper. But some of us likes, I mean, I really like, I discovered little particular little notebook, you know, that the aesthetics of it for some of us can be mm-hmm. can be pleasing.
And, you know, going back to Elizabeth, her call about her parents, I mean, what's your message to parents about, you know, they may have other, there are probably a lot of other 21-year-olds out there who feel like Elizabeth does, but maybe they're waiting to take their cue from their parents?
Yeah, well, one thing I wish we had in the market is admin consultants. So I write about some fantasy versions of what we need, and I hope the market will answer, so that you could go and buy a package for a graduation package for your kid mm-hmm. that is, you know, become a grown-up package.
Uh-huh.
And then the consulting group would, you know, give them a primer on all the things that they need to know. But otherwise, you know, having the conversation with your kid about it is one way forward. Sit down, say, these are the things we've been doing. What are the ones you think you can start, ones you can start moving forward on this year? You know, what are the steps to you launching off onto your own?
Okay, Elizabeth, thanks for that call. You know, for some people, it's a problem at work, not just at home, but at work as well. And we had the earlier caller who mm-hmm. talked about how her employer hooked her up with Franklin Covey, and that worked really well for her. But this is an issue for some employers, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting that people are sometimes the same admin personality at work and at home, but sometimes they're really not. I interviewed some women in Glasgow who, in a focus group, realized they were opposites in this regard, that one woman said she's doing so well at work, she thinks, because she leaves everything on the admin list at home until the last minute and avoids it as much as possible, and her husband picks up a lot of it. And the other one said she was the complete opposite. She was actually failing at work in various ways because she was so on top of things at home, because it was more satisfying to check things off the list when kids never check themselves off the list. You know, they're big long-term projects.
Right.
So we're often different in these two places. And so understanding our admin personality can really help us move forward in the areas we need to move forward in.
We only have a couple minutes, and I probably should ask this earlier, but, you know, for a lot of people, divorce creates a huge issue in admin responsibilities. There's getting through it, and it's a lot of paperwork and a lot of meetings and a lot of crap, and it's all feels sort of negative. Any advice on that score?
Yeah, so the thing, divorce is incredibly painful, as anybody who's been through it knows, and I have been through it. And the thing that is so hard is that you're suddenly launched on this big, mysterious legal journey. You know, and I'm trained as a lawyer, and I found it to be overwhelming. But recognizing that the process itself is a huge thing, it just is real, and that you can learn things from the process. So one point of advice I got that really helped me was when I had to go interview and look for a divorce lawyer, that telling my story over and over again wasn't just a huge time suck, that actually I was learning things from the way I told it and from what the people said back to me. And so that each part of it can be honored as part of the process, and we can learn from that, as well as from the people who've been before us on this path, as I said earlier.
Elizabeth Emmons, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I really loved it.
Elizabeth Emmons is a Columbia University law professor and author of a new book. It's titled Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. She's doing a live reading of her book at Gramercy Books. We'll have a link to that on our website at allsides@wosu.org. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Mary Lee Williams, assistant producer Kyle McKinnon, our interns Ray Brewster, Maisie Glockner, and Sophie Warner, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.